Welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Similre Breast Pumps. Similre Breast Pumps have ultra tiny pumps that are as small as a sticky note and also fully adjustable pumps with 85 setting combinations, as well as their brand new S7, which you should check out. And we will hear more from our sponsor a little later. But you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. If you ever need anything, check there. See if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address and we'll send you episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are also on Patreon and we would love to see you over there. We have our ad-free episodes and our mini podcasts from Diane and I. And click the link in the show notes under this episode. It'll be at the very top. And check out the different tiers and choose the one that you love. And we'll see you in there. We're all getting to know each other quite well. And we are still hosting our ongoing giveaway of people who leave reviews around the internet. You can leave written reviews or stars, iTunes, Spotify, anything that you can do, please do. Take a screenshot, email that over to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com along with your address, and we'll send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. And I think Diane has our review of the week now. Am I done? Yes, I'm done.
I think you are done. Oops, I hit the wrong thing. Okay, I got it. I found this podcast while looking for advice on returning to work while breastfeeding, and I am so thankful I did. I learned so much from Diane and Abby and look forward to new episodes each week. I've gained so much confidence and empowerment through this podcast, and I'm proud to say I'm going on 8 months strong breastfeeding. Thanks for everything you do. Well, congratulations to you, because 8 months is an awesome milestone to hit. And
that is, yes.
I feel especially like as a working parent, right?
Yeah, totally. As a working parent, yeah.
It is, yeah. Just, you're doing awesome. You're doing awesome.
You've that's been through so much at 8 months.
Oh my gosh, I know. So that's awesome. So thank you so much for sending that in for us. And we're glad you found us and that you're listening and that you sent a review. We appreciate you so much. And I wanted to tell everybody, we're on TikTok now. Da, da, da.
Oh yeah.
I'm not dancing on TikTok though. I'm really not.
You should. More people would watch.
I know, right? But we're doing I'm putting up some tips and we're putting up some, you know, our episodes. There's not a ton of stuff on there right now because we just started posting. But, you know, if you're a TikTok person, then find us on there and follow along.
Yeah. We don't really know TikTok, but we're there posting
trying
stuff.
It.
I figure that's what we do.
Right. Why not? Right.
Yeah. And also, we would like to talk to you about, we will be in Detroit this weekend.
May 5th.
I was going to say the date. It was going to be dramatic or something.
I know.
Yes, May 5th. We will be in Detroit on May 5th with Babies and Bumps. We were in Detroit last year, and that was loads of fun. We'll be there again. We hope to see some people there. We're also going to be in Indianapolis. Well, I'm going to be in Indianapolis. I don't know what Diane's plans are yet.
Diane doesn't know her plans yet.
June. She doesn't know until the week before.
I know. I never make a decision.
That is June 23rd, something. 23rd, yeah. And then Diane will be in Rochester in September. And then Cleveland, I believe, is October. So stay tuned. Yeah. There's no that's just what's going to happen. We'll continue to inform people about that. But for Detroit, that's this weekend, and we have a ticket that we would love to give to one of our listeners. So if you live in Detroit and you're able to come this Sunday, send us an email, and we just have the one ticket. So we'll randomly pick a winner out of the people that we get emails from. This is the easiest way we can think to do it, because I don't know who's in Detroit. If you're in Detroit, let us know. And then if a bunch of people email, then we'll just pick one. If one person emails us, then you're automatically a winner. Well, let us know, because we would love to give it to somebody who listens to the podcast, because that would be super fun to meet more people.
I know. That would be really cool.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about infants.
Yes, today. So a couple weeks ago, we did 5 tips to breastfeeding success for newborns. And today we are going to do 5 tips for breastfeeding success for infants. So we're talking like probably anything over like 3 months, like, three months and on, we were, you know, kind of thinking of when I put this list together. So the first thing on this list, again, there's a couple similarities. So if you listened to the one for newborns, there's a couple similarities, but that's okay, right? Because some things don't change, but some things do. Skin to skin is never going to change. That's the first thing on the list. Never hurts to continue doing that skin to skin. You can never do too much skin to skin, but I think it, as the baby gets older, I feel like as soon as you bring the baby home from the hospital, people stop doing skin to skin. They just don't do it as much. But it really is something that you can continue to do regardless of how old your baby is. I mean, Abby was saying a couple weeks ago that she was doing it with her toddlers. Mm-hmm. So it is really important to continue to do that skin to skin because it is really good for your baby. And it's really good for, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be just very newborn. They can be 3, 4, 5, 6 months old and older to be doing skin to skin with them.
Yeah. And it's so nice. It's just like such a great way to facilitate like that breastfeeding on demand, to comfort them when they're sick or sleeping, or helps you to, you know, be able to get a little nap as well.
Yeah. Those contact naps. I know people think, oh, you shouldn't be doing those contact naps. Don't let your baby.
Why?
Get used to that.
Oh, no. They should be used to that.
Exhausting. It's so exhausting to convince people that it's okay to be doing this stuff with your baby.
Yeah.
It's really good. And it helps to regulate your baby a lot. Calms them, keeps them it really does help to facilitate that relationship. So it's good to continue to do, regardless of how old your baby is.
That's what, you know, that reminds me of this. I was having a conversation with one of my friends this weekend, and she was talking about puppies, and they went to pick up their puppy, and the guy who was, it was like a breeder, and the guy was doing like this whole speech to the people who were picking up their puppies about how the puppies can be in their crate and hold their pee for 12 hours. And my friend was like, that is so not true. Like, they cannot hold their pee that long. And it's not good for them to hold their pee. And I was like, hold on. They don't hold their pee. When they're little puppies, they just don't have the ability to hold their pee. It just comes out.
Right.
You know, they're puppies. They just don't have that ability yet. No, it reminds me of like babies, what we're talking about. Like, we're worried about them getting used to something. We're worried about, you know, them getting, you know, stuck in a habit. Or they don't have the ability to do that. Mm-mm. They don't have the ability to build bad habits at 2 months old.
No.
All they're doing is just like, you're in charge. Like, they're just like this floppy bag of bones. Like, you have total control. They have no idea. Like, whatever you do is going to be, you're not going to create anything except for comfort and security and attachment. There's no such thing as a bad habit coming out of something like that at that age.
No, it's not.
Anyway,
no.
I had to stop and talk about puppies peeing for a second.
It makes me think, though, you're on the puppy thing. Like, puppies stay with their parents longer, I think, than we do. We treat them better than we treat our babies.
Yeah, we're like, oh, God, you can't separate the... We do this all the time with animals and... you have people like can beat each other up in the street and they're just like, oh, look at the fight. And then there's somebody is like mistreating a dog and it's like, oh, my God, you have to kill them. Like, death penalty for you, which I mean, I am not saying I disagree with, but it's like we care so much more about animals than we care about humans. Like, we're like, oh, the puppy needs to stay with its mom. And we're all in agreement. We're like, oh, yeah, you can't take the puppy away from its mom too soon. It needs to be with his pup, with his mom. But the baby needs to be alone in the room down the hallway so that they don't get, you know, too attached.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
It is weird.
Well, the next one is feed on demand. And this is something I get questions about this a lot because people are always like, should I be feeding on demand or should I be feeding every 3 hours? Or because, you know, I mean, it can be really confusing because they tell you in the hospital, feed every 3 hours, make sure your baby's feeding every 3 hours. You go to the pediatrician and they say, make sure your baby's feeding every 2 to 3 hours. And people ask, well, how often should my baby feed? When should I feed the baby? And we say feed on demand. And they're like, well, should I feed on demand or should I feed every 3 hours? Which one is it? What do I do? Yeah. When your baby is this old, and they're not old at this point when they're infants, they're, like I said, they're like at least 3 months, 2 to 3 months old or whatever. Feeding on demand is really the best thing. It's the best thing for your milk supply. It's the best thing for your baby. It's just, and you can call it feed on demand. You can call it responsive feeding, either one of those things, because what you're doing is you're just kind of following your baby's cues. If your baby wants to eat every hour, then they eat every hour. If your baby wants to eat every 3 hours and then, you know, for a couple hours and then, or for, you know, couple feedings and then they decide they want to eat every 2 hours, whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter. Timing doesn't matter. What you're doing is you're watching what your baby's doing and you're putting them to the breast when they're showing you cues. And that is the best thing for your milk supply. But sometimes people get into this like habit of watching the clock and they get into this habit of watching their app. And we did a whole thing about apps a couple weeks ago about how, you know, the apps can like give you so much anxiety because you're like, oh my God, my baby's feeding again. Why are they feeding again? They shouldn't be feeding this frequently. And it's totally fine for them to feed whenever they want to. That's what we want for them, right? We want them to feed whenever they want to. That harbors better milk supply and better weight gain for your baby. But we kind of get to this like, well, my baby, I just can't do that all the time. I can't feed them every 2 hours. It's too much. But this is what your baby needs sometimes, especially when they're younger. When they're younger, it's going to be more frequent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't like go to the bathroom or take a shower. Like the baby can wait. Like, that's okay. Like, you know, it's not like you have to be tied to your baby and now your life is over and you can't do anything. Like your baby, you can put the baby down. The baby's going to fuss because your baby doesn't know any other place except for on you. Your baby's uncomfortable anywhere except for on you. But that doesn't mean that they can't be uncomfortable for a little while you go to the bathroom or take a shower. That just means they're waiting till you get back.
Right.
You know, and when they come back, instead of looking at the clock or figuring out how many hours it's been, just latch them on again.
It's totally fine. I mean, remember what we tell you all the time, that feeding is not just for food. It is for comfort. It is for sleep. It is for security. It is for so many other things other than feeding, other than food. I mean, your baby's obviously getting nutrition from the breast. We know that. But that's not the only thing they're getting from the breast. And that's not the only thing we want them to get from the breast, right? We want them to get all those other things. We want them to get that attachment. We want them to get that security. We want them to get that trust. We want them to get all of those things from feeding at the breast. And they're going to do that when they're feeding on demand. And when they're feeding, you know, when you're kind of responding to whatever their cues are. And every baby has their own cues. Every baby's got their own little language that they speak to you in. And that's, you know, you figure that out as you go along. And that's one of the ways that you get to know your baby so well, too, when you're responding to them quite frequently. You do get to know your baby's little intricate language.
Apparently. I don't feel like I did, but
no.
But also, I just put him back on the boob. I'm like, whatever. I'll just put him on the boob. Yeah. It's fine.
I know.
Because
I don't even remember,
it just always fixed it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it does. It fixes if they're fussy, if they're, you know, unhappy, if they're hungry, if they're miserable, like whatever. It fixes it. It's just
if they're miserable, whatever.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
you know, it fixes it. Yeah. So just,
and I think
feeding and demand.
I think people as parents too, we're super wired and like we're designed to like be very responsive and have like a heightened sense of our baby's cries and when they're fussing and all of that. It's uncomfortable to hear your baby fuss, and that's on purpose. That's really like you're designed that way so that we do become very responsive to our babies, because infants are some of the most immature mammals, or the most immature the most mammals immature. That are born of all mammals. And we just need more as infants, and it makes us really uncomfortable to hear them fussy, but like, it's also okay. I guess I'm going back to the point of like, it's okay for you to like, because people feel really trapped by this. They're like, oh my God, my baby is fussy all the time. Like you said, my baby is miserable. My baby just cries all the time. If I walk away, my baby is upset. And like, yes, that is how it's supposed to be. You and your baby are supposed to be uncomfortable when you're apart. That's just like biology. That's how it happened, so that we are taking care of these immature babies. But it's also okay to be uncomfortable for a few minutes while you go to the bathroom, while you take a shower, while you take care of yourself. To just know that feeling is, because I remember this. I remember just being like, I couldn't, like, if I was taking a shower and like Jack started to cry or something, I would hop out of the shower. I would just be like, oh my God, he's crying. Oh my God. Oh my God. He cried so hard. I was in the shower and he just cried like so hard, like so loud. And I would get out of the shower. And I feel like now if I had a baby, I would be like, oh, mommy's coming. I'm almost done. You know, and I would let them hear my voice and I would finish what I was doing. And then I would settle, you know, dry myself off, do what I needed to do, then pick them up. And that is not neglectful. That is perfectly acceptable. That is responding to your baby. It doesn't mean like, I don't know. I'm speaking to the hyper anxiety people. If you're out there, if you're with me, because it's a hard thing. It's just a hard thing to have this baby that's just constantly fussy and you don't know what's going on. And
it makes you feel like you can't do anything else, but you can.
Because the breastfeeding on demand too. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to just do on demand. Whenever my baby demands, I respond. And it's
like a little dictator.
Right. It's not that. Breastfeeding on demand. I don't know. I feel like somebody one time said that they didn't like that term and they had another term, but I can't remember what it was.
I kind of like responsive feeding. Responsive feeding.
Sure. Yeah. And you're responding. Even if it's not in that split second, you have to finish your shower. You're still responding.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Why don't we take a break? Yeah, since I haven't talked enough, let me do an ad for you. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Simory Breast Pumps. Simory Breast Pumps wants you to have control of your pumping journey. With a continuous focus on research and development and a team comprised of certified lactation consultants, Simory Breast Pumps strives to offer pumps for every lifestyle, from those ultra-tiny pumps as small as a sticky note to fully adjustable pumps with 85 setting combinations. You're in control of your pumping journey. They also have resources like virtual breast shield sizing consultations in English and Spanish, and exclusive Get the Right Fit program that offers a third set of breast shields for free if the ones in the box don't fit. Simory gives you the tools for a successful journey, a safe choice for everyone. All Simory pump parts and storage bags are phthalate and BPA free. Better yet, Simory breast pumps can be personalized with a fun pump skin decal. And you could see their entire pump family at Simory Breast Pumps, that's C-I-M-I-L-R-E breastpumps.com, including that S7 pump that I talked about, which has just been released. And also, apply through your insurance, because if you don't know, you can get a pump through your insurance. And I would recommend doing that through the pump company, because they're the ones who know how to facilitate that. Mm-hmm.
They'll take care of it for you.
Yes, they will work it out. Because if you call your insurance company and you're like, hey, I want to get a pump. I need a pump for free. Like that, the operator on the other end might not know what you're talking about. They just don't know every single detail of everything. But the pump company knows how to work with the insurance company. So take advantage of that. SimoryBreastPumps.com. And you can use code BADASS for 15% off of your order. And all of our sponsors and their promo codes can be found in the show notes at BadassBreastfeedingPodcast.com or, in the show notes for wherever you're listening from. But they can also be found at BadassBreastfeedingPodcast.com. On our sponsor page, like we talked about before, please visit there. And you'll also find over on our website information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Okay, my next one is be careful what you see on the internet or on your social media. And I kind of feel like, you know, when you're, well, there's a couple things I want to say about this. First of all, when I was making this list, I was finding a whole bunch of really ridiculous stuff on the internet. And I was like, oh my God, this has to go on the list. Because some of the stuff that I was seeing, I was like, I came across this one blog that was written by an OB. Ugh. And it had the worst information in it.
Of course it did.
And I was like, oh my God.
What the hell does an OB know about breastfeeding? Nothing. Like, that is a person who has not gotten any education in that.
No, they have not gotten any education about breastfeeding. I know we talk about this all the time on the podcast, how like in medical school and nursing school, lactation is not a thing. They do not do anything about lactation. And you would think they would, right? You would really think they would, but they don't. They don't get any education about it.
They're like, oh, you do a round like for a few minutes. You follow like the, you know, let's see what it's like in here. And then you go in there and you follow the like labor and delivery nurses around for, I don't know, an hour or whatever. I don't know what it is, but then they're like, oh yeah, I got some lactation.
Yeah. It's not very much.
That's not it.
No. And the information that this OB was putting out was be careful what you eat and drink because it's going to go straight to the baby. It's just ridiculous. It was like, it was ridiculous. But I really feel like, you know, when you first bring your baby home, sometimes you're looking stuff up. Sometimes you're too busy to look stuff up. But as your baby gets a little bit older and things are starting to develop and things are starting to change because, you know, as they start to get to be like 2 months, 3 months, and you're kind of like, okay, they're changing their routine around a little bit. My breasts don't feel as full. I need to start pumping. I'm going back to work. How do I store milk? Like, there's a lot more questions as your baby starts to get older. And I think people are reaching more towards the internet. So you really need to be cautious about the things that you read on the internet and on social media, and the things that you see on social media are not always accurate either. I can't tell you how many times people say, what about all those people on my Instagram that have so much milk that they're storing? Why don't I have that much milk? You know, like stuff like that. Really be careful of what
people,
you see or hear.
I still see it in my feed of people like, you have to drink this much water. You have to have this much oatmeal. You know, and then you'll have a healthy milk supply and you have to, it's like, that is the most useless information ever.
I think the first thing I put on our TikTok was, you don't have to drink a lot of water.
Yeah. The water thing. I saw that.
Because that drives me crazy.
I know. It's so insane. It's like, this has never been a thing. This has never been a real thing. And it just became like the biggest social media thing ever.
I know.
But was there ever a time where we thought, I mean, maybe there was a time where we thought you had to drink a ton of water, but there's never been research to support that. It's not like, never. Oh, we had to go back and visit the research. And actually, it turns out, no, there was never research.
No.
But what there was 100 years ago was people living in like impoverished situations or in concentration camps with certainly not enough water. With full milk supplies, feeding their babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't recommend that situation, but your body is making milk.
Absolutely. I tell people that all the time. Like, you don't need, you know, if you think about people all over the world who don't have supplements, who don't have, you know, the special foods, who eat what they grow,
who mm-hmm. don't have access to clean water all the time, you know, they are breastfeeding their babies for years. Yeah. And it's the best nutrition their baby is going to get.
Especially in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Especially in those situations. And then we come to, you know, developed countries and we're like, oh my God, I don't have, you know, I don't have enough vitamins. I don't have enough supplements. I need these supplements to be able to breastfeed. I need to have this pink drink from Starbucks to be able to make enough milk. And I need to, you know, like,
yeah,
I was at Starbucks last weekend with my sisters and I saw people drinking those pink drinks. And it made me think about that, how people claim that that's like their
milk-making
drink. Yeah, and the blue Gatorade.
It's so magical.
Powerade and all that stuff. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not, doesn't do anything for milk supply. So do not worry about what you're reading on the internet. If you have concerns about something, definitely like contact a lactation consultant, ask them. Really try not to fall into that black hole of the internet when it comes to finding information, because there's so much bad information out there. And I'm sure it's like that with every topic, but I feel like lactation is just especially bad. It's just.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't even know any other topic. Like, this is just a topic that I see on the internet. But yeah, I would imagine. Well, you see all kinds of, I mean, I read a lot of parenting stuff too. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, what? This is like not at all what we know about child development. What? What are you talking about? Because it's also the wild west, right? Like people can just post whatever they want. There's never been a situation like this. There's never been a situation where so much misinformation has been I mean, we can bring up politics. There's a situation where there's more misinformation.
True.
Like people can literally say and post whatever they want, even if there is like video evidence of the opposite. They'll straight up be like, that didn't happen. No, that's not true.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So just remember that when you're reading about how you're not supposed to have strawberries when you're breastfeeding or tomatoes. That was like I remember being shocked about that. I was like, oh, there's one I've never heard of.
So stupid. Oh my gosh. People just make shit up. Just making shit up.
People totally just make it up. And make it up. Like, where'd you hear that? And why are you passing it on? Or you just made it up. You just made it up so you could be the one who said it.
Just to have something else in their blog. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So just really be careful about what you read. And that was one of the reasons why we started this podcast, was to put really good evidence-based information out there so that people wouldn't have to wonder and wouldn't have to be like, oh my gosh. And everything we talk about, like you can find research to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
So when we tell you, you don't need 50 gallons of water a day to breastfeed, we're not just making that up, backed by research.
Right. Drink to thirst. Like also don't like eating and drinking enough is like, that's part of taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, it's like, you're not going to end up with no milk, but you're going to end up pretty miserable.
Right.
You're not going to feel good. So take care of yourself.
I mean, you're recovering from having a baby, for God's sakes. You got to put it back into your body. And that's what, you know, that's what you're doing. You're taking care of you so that you can take care of a little human.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I mean, it's just crazy. So just be careful what you read. My next one is pump if you give a bottle. And in the first one, when we were talking about infants, babies, newborns, whatever they were, newborns, whatever those newborns. Little creatures are, when we were talking about the newborns, we did not talk about pumping because it was newborn and we don't want you pumping if you don't have to for a newborn baby. Unless you're separated from your newborn, you shouldn't be pumping. You don't need to, unless there's, you know, some kind of problem or something like that. And then you should be working with somebody if that's the case. But when your baby gets to be a couple of months old, that is when people really start getting into pumping, whether it be you have to return to work or maybe there is, you know, you're planning to be separated from your baby, whether it be for just to kind of go out or whatever, then we are looking at pumping. And sometimes people don't realize that if they choose to give a bottle, you do have to pump in replace of that feeding. So that's really important thing to do because your body needs to recognize that it's feeding time. So if, for example, if you are like, well, let me go run some errands, you know, grandma said she would come over and watch the baby so that I could go and get some stuff done. And I left a bottle. That's great. But, you know, I had some milk in the freezer from my haka. So I left a bottle and now I can go out for, you know, 3 or 4 hours and the baby be fine. Well, that's great. But your body thinks it's time to feed. So you're going to have to pump that a feeding that you're missing there. So that's why a lot of times when people say, I want to give a bottle overnight, or my partner wants to give a bottle overnight, you still have to get up and pump. I'm sorry. I know that ruins everything. Because then people are like,
it's true.
Oh, I do? Like, yeah, you still have to get up and pump. If you're giving a bottle overnight, if somebody's taking that overnight feeding for you, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. But you still have to get up and pump. So it really doesn't make anything. It doesn't save you from having to get
up. Your body has to have this. You have to remove the milk from the breast for your body to know to make more. Because if it's not removed, then your body's like, oh, well, we don't need this milk. Let me not make so much so that we're not uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, you need to get it out.
Yeah. And you're going to get full and uncomfortable and leak. And who wants to do that while they're in the middle of Target? Not me. That's for sure.
I know. That happened when I went out. I went out with some friends shortly after Jack was born. And I was just leaking all over the bar, sticking tissue down the front of my shirt. I had no idea what I was doing. I just had wet marks. My friends were so embarrassed. They were like, no one had babies or anything. They're just like, oh my God, what is happening to her? And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go. I can't be here. This is so weird.
I know. I remember being out at something. I don't remember where it was. And like feeling the milk let down and like starting to leak. And I was like, oh God, I gotta go feed the baby. It's just, you know, it just happens. So you really, and of course I didn't know what I was doing either. I had no clue what the hell I was doing when I was breastfeeding my kid. But you do have to, pump and replace if a feeding. So those overnight feeds, I mean, if you feel like pumping, if you'd rather get up and pump than get up and feed the baby, then have somebody else feed the baby. But you have to, either way, you got to get up and pump or you got to get up and feed. So it doesn't really.
Well, if the baby's in the bed, then you don't have to get up and feed.
That's true.
If you can set up a safe co-sleeping situation or bed sharing situation, then you
can just easier.
Roll over.
Roll over.
Or you're probably already, it's already there. So it's not, you're hopefully asleep.
Yeah.
Or trying to get comfortable enough to sleep.
So much easier. So much easier. And I think people figure that out as they go along, that it's just easier to have the baby in the bed with you.
Yeah. And that is why, you know, one of these tips and all of these tips from newborn to later on should include creating a safe bed sharing situation if you're able to. There's obviously a whole bunch of things that you need to ensure the safety of the situation. But if you can do it, because you're going to end up, even if you don't do it regularly and you're saying, I'm really not comfortable with it, have it set up so that if at some point at 3 o'clock in the morning, your nighttime brain is just like, oh, I just want to lay down and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Then you have that set up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really important, especially at this age. I know I hear this more when babies are past the newborn phase, you know, because parents feel a little bit more comfortable having the baby in the bed when they're not a week old or something.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, and the baby's on more of a little bit more of a routine at night. They know they get up and feed and, you know, whatever, go back to sleep. So babies in the bed is a more common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have it set up, have it ready to go. Even if, like Abby said, even if you're not doing it yet, you might fall into doing it just because it's like, oh, the baby's up, I'm tired.
But we all know our nighttime selves are different than our daytime selves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always agree on things. Like my nighttime self thinks all kinds of things are okay. Because I just am so tired. I just want to go to sleep. You know, and my daytime self is like, oh no, you know, we need to do this and this, and it's very organized. And at night, I'm just like, ah, whatever.
You know,
and that's very normal. And you're going to be sleep deprived, and you're going to, you know, it's better than ending up in an unsafe situation, like on a couch or in a recliner or someplace where you're mm-hmm. trying to avoid bed sharing because you're afraid of it, that's dangerous.
Right.
That is where bad things happen.
So keep it safe. Keep it safe and have it set up to be safe. And you'll be fine. My last one is to call a lactation consultant. It doesn't matter how old the baby is. You can always call a lactation consultant if you have questions, if you have concerns, if something's going on. Sometimes I'll get calls from people and the baby's like 6 months old and they'll be like, I thought everything was going well. And then all of a sudden we hit this bump in the road and, you know, so it's like things can happen. You can be rolling along and everything is fine. And then, you know, you hit a bump in the road and things kind of whatever. It's never too late to call a lactation consultant. You can always contact one for questions. If it's your, you know, you could be going back to work and you need some guidance. It could be, you know, pain all of a sudden starting up. I've had that happen with people that, you know, they didn't have pain with breastfeeding until their baby got to be like 4 or 5 months old and then they're teething and they're having more pain. Who knows what's going on? But it's never too late. And, you know, instead of looking things up on the internet, call a lactation consultant. It's so much better. And I'm not saying that just because I am one. I'm saying that because it's going to be the better thing for you to do. To call
I'm
an
not
expert.
One.
You would do
and
that
I'm
for a
saying,
doctor.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You would do it for a doctor. And don't call your doctor about breastfeeding stuff because you're not going to get good information. Call a lactation consultant and just get it sorted out. If you want to continue yeah. breastfeeding, then that's the
absolutely.
Help that you need.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, it makes sense. You know, it just makes sense. Find one that you trust and, you know, get the right information because, and you know, when you're not getting good information, I mean, I hear that from people all the time be like, well, I got this information from my doctor or a nurse at the doctor's office or another lactation consultant. And I just don't feel comfortable with the information they gave me. I wanted a second opinion. That's totally fine. You know, when things don't sound right.
Yeah.
I hear that all, oh my God, all the time. Like, trust your instinct. You know, when something doesn't sound right. And that's okay. A lot of times people, and I'm thinking about like people that aren't lactation consultants necessarily, aren't used to breastfeeding issues when babies get bigger. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people can answer like your doctor or pediatrician or, you know, whatever, might be comfortable, feel comfortable answering a question with a newborn. Like, how often do I feed or what should my baby, you know, what should feeding look like at this age or whatever? That's easier to answer when your baby is a newborn. For some people, when your baby gets to be, you know, 2-3 months old and you have a breastfeeding problem, they don't know what to tell you. They're not experienced with that.
They just don't see it as much. Yeah.
They don't see it as much. Yeah. They don't see it as much. So contacting somebody who does see this regularly is going to be your best bet. I'll definitely do that. That's my list. That's it.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.